What do you suppose kidding little families with only 5 or 6 children do with themselves?
They're instant priorities. You know you have to protect them and provide for them.
You've given me a massive headache.
It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes an army.
The hospital made us take it home.
We'll look back on moments like these as the happiest in our lives.
It Takes a Parent, brought to you by Matt's Cookies. They're just like homemade cookies with real ingredients. Try some today. You can meet Betsy's sponsors at betsysblog.com. Hey,
you know, the 2-for-1 eggs in the grocery store. And by the way, if you do it right, do you know that you can freeze eggs? Seriously. So when you see those offers, grab them. You know, I'm not looking at my retirement statements or the college funds. You know, like everyone else, they just come in the door, stuff them in a drawer, and I don't peek. But you know what? I'm also marveling at the benefits. Yeah, I got to say, the benefits of a pretty serious recession. I'm wondering and hoping, just hoping, if one of the unexpected bonuses of our economic downturn is that a much-needed corrective for the self-esteem movement might be on its way. You know, we've heard news reports in the past, and I've talked about them here on the show, about young adults in jobs who want to be praised constantly because they're used to that from birth through the time they go off and find a job. They want to be told every day how great they are. And the Wall Street Journal, in fact, reported that some firms were hiring companies literally to throw confetti parties for their young workers and otherwise tell them how awesome they were today so they could just feel so good about themselves, you know, and otherwise stroke those young egos. At least that was the trend until presumably last fall when the economy crashed. You know what? Perhaps now we are on our way back to the time when not getting fired was pretty much all the self-esteem building one could ask for. Maybe this common sense is hitting the workplace, but it has not apparently filtered down to the college level. Friends, you're listening to It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart welcoming you to my show on AM 1160 WYLL. I hope you'll stop by betsysblog.com and find out all the fun stuff we have there. We've got a really lot of fun stuff to go into in the heartbeat section of the show. And then later we have all about a federal effort to promote marriage. This is one federal effort I'm actually for. But right now it's back to the heartbeat and some fun things we have to talk about there, including what's going on in the college campus. So there, as the New York Times recently chronicled, it seems more and more students think they should get good grades for just gracing their seats in class. In his article, Student Expectations Seen as Causing Grade Disputes, Max Roosevelt describes the scene at the University of California at Irvine in which, quote, a third of students surveyed said they expected B's just for attending lectures, and 40% said they deserved a B for completing the required reading. Big deal! Other professors report the same rise in expectations. Ellen Greenberg of the University of California at Irvine said, I noticed an increased sense of entitlement in my students and wanted to discover what was causing it. So she authored a study on self-entitled college students and found parental pressure and other root causes at work. But wait a minute. Okay. What about understanding that one culprit of this has to be the I'm great just as I am self-esteem preaching the kids are getting taught from birth to high school? I mean, they are just steeped in this stuff. James Hogue, a professor at Vanderbilt University, said in the New York Times piece, students often confuse the level of effort with the quality of work. There's a mentality in students that, quote, if I work hard, I deserve a high grade. As one student told Roosevelt, I think putting in a lot of effort should merit a high grade. Okay, my response is, really? What if the effort isn't good enough? What if it downright stinks? Now, friends, I fully confess, I talked about this in my book, It Takes a Parent. I have been open about this my entire life. I graduated from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign without gracing my class seat very often. You know, in fact, even my mother, my dear departed mother, God bless her, used to say that I never let my studies interfere with my education. I'm afraid she was right. I had a really great time in college, and I'm not going to pretend otherwise. But at least I certainly didn't believe I was owed anything. Not a good grade, not a good job, not anything. Eventually, even I, yes, even I, found out that I had to work hard to get what I wanted. So, you know, here's my question. As I read this piece in the New York Times, what has changed in recent decades? We have young people being raised, well, I think at least one thing that's changed is that they're being raised on a steady diet of, I'm awesome just as I am. One popular parenting website says, helping our child grow up with strong self-esteem is the most important task of parenthood. Oh, really? What about learning to esteem others? Wow, can't find a whole lot of books about that in the bookstore, in the library these days. Then there's a book, Just Because I Am, a child's book of affirmation, which says, quote, all children have the right to feel good about themselves exactly as they are. Really? Who knew? What if a child is doing something he should be really ashamed of at that moment? You know what? I don't think he should feel good about himself. Well, guess what? It turns out, naturally, that excellence and effort are not the same thing. And do we really think the college kids, I mean, think about this, friend. Do we really think the college kids who complain about not being rightly rewarded for the latter are actually trying that hard anyway? Excellence is not the same as effort. And if you're really trying to do a great job, you know that. For too long, we've confused the two. To be more accurate, you know what? Our culture has preached that you don't really need excellence or, frankly, effort. You don't even really need either one to get ahead. What's the big deal? Apparently, you just have to be wonderful you and grace your seat in class. Well, you know what? Here's what I'm thinking. This is why I wanted to talk about this on the It Takes a Parent show today. I love finding these kinds of pieces out in the culture and just kind of talking to you about them. I love it when my readers and listeners send them to me. Here's the thing. Times have changed. You know what? Friends, there's a whole lot of silver linings out there in a very crummy economy. And maybe one of the crazy benefits of the crazy economy will be that there are no more confetti parties for just showing up to work, and by extension, no more A's for simply completing a required classroom project or warming a seat. And you know what? That would be a bigger silver lining in this economy than even two for one eggs. I'm telling you, I think there are some good things happening out there. There's some shaken down and some shaken out, and it's hard. I'll tell you, I'm not liking it. My lifestyle has changed dramatically, and part of it is because I just would like to assume that what I offer the world is indispensable, but I'm not really sure that it is. So I am cutting back, and I know a lot of people are really in a very much more serious strait. They're really losing their homes and so forth. But for a lot of us who are just reevaluating where we are and how we spend our money and all that kind of stuff, and there's a lot of shaking out in the marketplace, and I think that is not necessarily bad. And if one of the things that happens is people have to realize they have to actually work hard, and sometimes that's not always enough, but at least you have to work hard and produce something of value in order to have self-esteem, in order to feel good about yourself. I don't think that that is so bad. So wanted to bring that to you in the heartbeat section of It Takes a Parent. So glad you're with me today. Friends, you know what? I love it when you visit me at betsysblog.com and tell me what you think of the show or email me or give me ideas for things you'd like for me to talk about. I love it when people send me news pieces that I can get into on the air. Here's one, and this is what we're going to be talking about in the segment after next. Uncle Sam, I want you to get married. Wow, really? Doesn't pay me $5 million to get married. $5 million campaign, Feds Tout Benefits of Getting Hitched. And this is about attitudes among young people about their views of marriage. And Peter Picard of True, who we're going to be talking to in a little bit, a Chicago youth research firm who is helping shape the campaign. It's not telling people they should get married, but it's kind of touting the benefits of marriage. And, you know, we're saying don't underestimate the benefits of marriage would be kind of, I guess the way to put it. Because as I've talked about in the show before, people are pushing back the average age of first marriage. A growing percentage of Americans are not marrying at all. And that's concerning because marriage has all kinds of benefits for society and health and all that good stuff. Anyway, so he says that one of the surprising things, given the divorce rates in the culture in his study, and he conducted the research, and we'll be talking to him, was that the divorce rates in the culture was that the motivation for marriage is actually quite high. Some say the government has no business using tax dollars to promote marriage, but there's a real and justified suspicion about the role the government can play in this discussion, but nonetheless, there's real benefits to promoting marriage and to at least getting some of that discussion out there and encouraging young people who seem to have a very, I don't know, according to him, they seem to have a powerful drive towards it. So it's just sort of saying, hey, you know what? It's actually got some pretty good aspects to it, and getting some of that out there, just like a public health campaign. I think that's fine. Now, here's some of the interesting findings that he talked about, and we'll get into this a little more later. They talked to kids in the 18 to 30-year-old age range. Now 30-year-olds are kids. 3,000 men and women, and found that 14% of them expressed strong sentiments against marriage. I think I've dated at least one of those guys. 22% aren't ready, but say they eventually plan to wed. Okay. 23% have a practical view of marriage and often live together first. Okay, I'd say that's just a silly no-no, but that's a whole other discussion. 19% of people in this age group are enmeshed in the magic of love. Okay, not sure where they are in the marriage issue, but they're just wildly in love. And 22% have a strong belief in the institution of marriage. So a high percentage at some level still desire to get married, want to get married. And we'll kind of find out more about those attitudes and what may be holding them back from marriage. And, you know, if you've listened to me on It Takes a Parent before, I know one of the things holding them back from marriage is too many women make themselves too sexually available to men, so that there's no longer any desire to marriage, and our society no longer holds up marriage as a sign that a man has grown up. But, hey, what do I know? Hope I know a little bit. So anyway, friends, come right back on It Takes a Parent. Lots more in the heartbeat section of the show about calorie counters. Had it right all along. And then later we'll be talking to Peter Picard about this push by the government to encourage people to say, hey, marriage is pretty cool. Stay with us. You're listening to It Takes a Parent.
Answers to the questions you've been afraid to ask.
Ask the Pastor with Pastor Gregory Dickow.
Weekday evenings from 5 to 6 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois, each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's cookies continue to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. The Chicago Tribune selected Matt's cookies as the first place winner in a blind taste test of commercially baked chocolate chip cookies. They said Matt's cookies had lots of real chocolate and a soft texture that some equated with being most like homemade. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf in just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the homemade style store-bought cookies, now available in chocolate chip pecan, peanut butter with chocolate chips, cranberry walnut, and fig bars. Wow, Matt's Cookies. Get some today.
Eat Lunch with Chuck and Charles. Swindoll and Stanley, weekdays noon to 1, here on AM 1160.
Do you want to grow deeper in your faith? Do you have questions you have had difficulty asking? Do you want to get your answers anonymously? Tune in Monday through Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. to Ask the Pastor with Gregory Dickow. Countless people have been satisfied with the biblical answers, and many pastors and those looking for spiritual growth have learned from these questions and answers. Monday through Friday from 5 to 6 p.m., you will be encouraged, uplifted, and strengthened in your faith.
That's right here on AM 1160.
Columnist and commentator Betsy Hart sees parents who are tyrannized by experts, anxious and harried by their children to the point of misery, and she faults today's permissive parenting culture. In her critically acclaimed book, It Takes a Parent, how the culture of pushover parenting is hurting our kids and what to do about it, Betsy Hart, mother of four, presents a smart, refreshingly honest, and provocative argument for the crucial role of parents who lead rather than follow. Bill Bennett says of It Takes a Parent, I highly recommend it. Buy your signed copy now at betsysblog.com. That's Betsy's blog.
Do you ever look in the mirror and think that maybe while you work hard to exercise and be in shape, your face isn't reflecting how you feel inside? Acclaimed facial cosmetic surgeon Dr. Wafi Khanna and the folks at Skinsational Med Spa in Hinsdale can help. You can look more on the outside like you feel on the inside, vibrant, healthy, younger. You know about Botox for frown lines and Restylane to plump lips and facial folds, but they also offer photo rejuvenation. With no downtime, it removes most brown and red spots and improves dull complexions. There's microdermabrasion and pixel resurfacing to treat large pores and rough skin texture. But what's really incredible about all this? Just a little bit of investment on the outside can help you to better reflect your inner beauty and wellness. Now, I'm not going to give away any of my own secrets. I'm just going to tell you that I love the folks at Skinsational Med Spa. Call them now at 630-887-8180. That's 630-887-8180 or visit HannahMD.com.
If you love to travel, we've got a great deal for you. Go to 1160travel.com for some of the best travel rates online. Check out 1160travel.com, all courtesy of Chicago's Christian Talk, AM 1160, WYLL.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart, AIM 1160 WYLL. Hey, the next segment, we're going to be talking to Peter Picard on how the feds want you to get married. I want me to get married, but okay. So we'll be talking to him about that new push by the feds. But in the meantime, I've got more in the heartbeat section of the show. And again, I love getting stuff from my listeners and readers. Here's one article that I came across today in the Wall Street Journal. I love the Journal. They've got always got fun stuff. Finally, thank goodness, calorie counters have it right, diet study says. You know what? It is about time that somebody admitted this is the case. All right. You aren't what you eat. You're how much you eat. Hello? That's the message from a two-year National Institutes of Health-funded study that assigned 811 overweight people to one of four reduced-calorie diets and found that all trimmed pounds about the same. It didn't matter what foods participants ate, but rather how many calories they consumed. Here's why I'm so happy to see this. Friends, I have talked about overweight kids on the show. I've talked about how we don't like to say no to ourselves. We don't like to say no to our kids. But over and over again, you know what, in America, we want it the easy way. So we come up with all these other diets that are going to help us to lose weight and to keep the weight off. And you know what, you've got Atkins, and you've got high carbs, and you've got low carbs. And you remember, you know, 20 years ago or so, the whole no-fat or low-fat fad started? And what happened is people forgot that oftentimes the foods with the high fat content were more satisfying. So you would eat, you know, like two Oreo cookies. Then when they took the fat out, you'd eat 10 Oreo cookies, and you'd say, oh, but it's low fat. Only you were consuming like five times as many calories, and people just kept getting fatter. And you know what? I don't know about you, but when I'm at the grocery store and I accidentally buy a low-fat product, I go nuts. And I've had this happen. I mean, I'll be going for some ice cream, and I'll get home, and it's low-fat ice cream. I don't want it. Or the absolute worst is when I accidentally buy no-fat half and half. Now, that's a total misnomer, by the way. Half and half means half fat, half milk. And it's the only thing I can have in my coffee in the morning. And if I don't have coffee in the morning, it's a really bad situation at my house. I mean, I've gone out at 11 o'clock at night to get coffee or half and half. I have to have both, and I have to have it within 2 to 3 minutes of waking up, or it gets really ugly. You follow, friends, it gets bad. So a couple of times, I mean, milk will not do it. It's really important I have that. Let me just be clear. So a couple times I've actually accidentally picked up low-fat half and half in the grocery store, no fat, and I pour that into my coffee. I mean, I'll just start screaming because it just makes me so crazy that there's all these ridiculous products that are no fat. I mean, if you want no fat, buy a carrot. Obviously, there's no fat in that. But if you're buying half and half, or you're buying ice cream, or you're buying cookies, you expect there to be fat in them, except that we started this really dopey movement of no-fat goodies, which makes absolutely no sense to me. If you want a chocolate donut, just have the whole chocolate donut, you know? Anyway, I digress, but I've just had that happen too many times where now, boy, am I careful when I pick up that half and half. Or I've sent somebody else to get me some half and half. They come back with the fat-free, and it's just so not good. But anyway, okay, but here's the point. It's all about calories. It's not about, we can't get some, there's no easy way out of losing weight. And you know what? There's a reason that the vast majority of people who, you know, we're wildly overweight now in the United States. It's really scary and dangerous to our health. And I just see people all around me ballooning. I don't mean around me personally, but I just mean in our culture. And I just think it's very, very sad. And you know, one of the reasons is all this sort of, we can have it all. We can eat whatever we want, or we can go on the silly fat diet and not eat a certain thing and lose weight. And it just doesn't work. So there's kind of been this debate, and now, thank goodness, the Wall Street Journal actually says it only matters, not from a health standpoint, but from a fat standpoint, how many calories you consume. And they're correct. An intense debate has long ranged over which dieting regimen is best. Low carb, high protein, low fat. But the federal study, one of the longest of its kind, really goes against, this is a quote in this article today by Jennifer Levitz, really goes against the idea that certain foods are the key to weight loss, says Frank Sachs, principal investigator and a professor of cardiovascular disease prevention at Harvard School of Public Health. This is a pretty positive message. It gives people a lot of choices to find a diet that they can stick with. And the study was published this week in the New England Journal of Medicine. And it put participants on one of four diets, and on it goes. But basically, they figured out that what you got to do is it's all about how much you take in and how much you put out. And by the way, it's not even that much how much you put out, because exercise, it's hard to burn up a lot of calories by exercise, serious calories. It's all about really being able to watch what you take in. And every single time that I write about this issue or I talk about this issue, I get loads of emails telling me that I'm off my rocker and I'm not fair and I'm discriminating against overweight people. It's just not true. Being overweight, as little as 20 pounds overweight, has profound health effects. There are 300,000 preventable premature deaths in the United States every year caused by being overweight or obese. It is killing our children. Diabetes has now gone down into our youngest kids. Type 2 diabetes, which was once thought to only happen in adult onset because of obesity. It's now striking our kids. We are saddling them with incredible healthcare problems, and we're doing it because we don't like to say no to our kids. We don't like to say no to ourselves. And you know what? It's scary, and we got to get a hold of that. And it's not just about the bigger portions in the restaurants, although those are outrageous. It's not just about McDonald's. It's not just about the sweet stuff being offered at school, although it shouldn't be. It's about learning to say no to ourselves, and that's just not always easy. But, wow, does it have health, beneficial health consequences if we can learn to do that. So forget the fad diets, forget the low fat, forget the high protein, forget all that. It's all about counting calories. And that's the word that it takes a parent. AM 1160 WYLL. Hey, guys, I'm so happy you're tuning in. I do want you to visit betsysblog.com. I absolutely love hearing from listeners. I love hearing from readers telling me all kinds of stuff about what's going on with you and asking questions and sending me little tidbits and things to talk about. That is really, really fun for me. So I hope that you will take a visit to bessiesblog.com and let me hear from you. And by the way, I have lots of new fabulous sponsors, and I want you to check it out, because I have personally gone, literally me, I have made the calls to each of these sponsors. Why? Because they've got a product or service that I love and use. Every one of my sponsors is handpicked by me, so I can personally endorse every one of them. And you'll find Matt's Cookies, that's our flagship sponsor. And by the way, they are now available in Peapod, with Peapod delivery in the Chicagoland area. But I've also got terrific sponsors from Massage Envy to Dr. Wafik Hanna in Hinsdale, Elite Fitness Gym, and now Kanakuk Camp is sponsoring. That's where my kids go to camp. So I'm excited. I'd love for you to go visit and find out more about them at betsysblog.com. Now, here's an interesting piece that I wanted to bring to the attention of you moms and dads, especially if you are getting ready to send your kids to college or they're already at college. This is something that really caught my eye for the heartbeat part of the It Takes a Parent show. Melissa Korn wrote this week in the Wall Street Journal, get this, the college your kid just got into may be very different from the one you visited last year. And that is in her piece, Cutbacks Threaten College Experience. Recession prompts some campuses to trim faculty, classes, and construction. So listen to this. While some changes like hiring freezes are temporary, others such as faculty layoffs or scholarship cuts could profoundly alter your child's education. Mom and Dad, you got to pay attention. It's important for families, Korn writes, to consider some of these cutbacks, even if it means extra phone calls or another trip to campus. Folding chairs in the new library at California State University Fresno might not bother anyone as long as books are still available. But kids looking forward to lush dorms at Vanderbilt University may be disappointed, since plans for new residential halls have been postponed indefinitely. Okay, listen to this. Half of private colleges and universities have frozen new hiring, according to a survey conducted earlier this winter by the National Association of Independent Colleges and Universities. Nearly the same number have slowed current construction and renovation projects, while 22% have canceled planned construction and renovation. Dozens more schools, public and private, have initiated layoffs, program cuts, and other changes since the survey was completed. You know what? I've got to tell you, again, I don't think this is so bad. You know what? I mean, be aware of it, Mom and Dad. Be on top of it. Find out what's going on at the college your child is applying to or is already attending. But do you remember the great film Ghostbusters? There's so many great conservative themes in that movie. Really, if you haven't seen it in a while, rent it. Watch it with your kids. It's just so hilarious. But one scene is that I think it's Bill Murray, Stan Aykroyd, right, and Bill Murray, and one of them, I can't remember which one, is sort of saying, okay, we've been fired from the university for the silly Ghostbusters project. We're going to have to go out and get a job in the private sector. And I think it's Bill Murray says, I've worked in the private sector before. We can't do that. They expect results. What a concept. And suddenly colleges themselves are being hit hard and having to actually look at a budget and cut costs. Wow. Instead of living in this academia private, you know, this ivory tower where they tell the rest of us how to live as if we have no reason to be cost conscious or live inside a budget, because they certainly don't. And they come up with all these ideas about how we can live in a near, you know, seems to me sometimes near socialist economy and these utopian ideas. Now, all of a sudden, they're being hit with some real serious financial situations, and they're having to make decisions based on cost-benefit analysis and what works and where to cut and how to actually still provide an education and attract students but not overspend on ridiculous salaries and facilities and professors who haven't actually been inside a classroom for years. Once again, I think this could be a great effect of a recessionary economy. Friends, if we can get higher education to start cost cutting, you know what? That is not all bad. The rest of us have to watch, and we have to pay attention to what's going on, where kids are going to school or where they visited or what they're choosing, and find out if those facilities are the same we saw last fall. But you know what? Maybe the universities will actually have to, gasp, learn a little bit about surviving in the marketplace in tough times. What a concept. Hey, friends, come right back on It Takes a Parent with Peter Picard. All about young people and marriage. Are they doing it, and do they want to? Come right back on It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart. Don't go away.
Chicago's Christian Talk includes New Life Live with Stephen Arterburn. Learn more at newlife.com and listen weekdays at 1.
Friends, you know how important physical fitness is, not just to your physical, but to your emotional health and well-being. So then how is your New Year's resolution to get or stay fit going for you? Well, mine is off to a great start thanks to Elite Fitness in Western Springs. Conveniently located in the western suburbs, Elite Fitness offers state-of-the-art weights and cardio and weightlifting machines along with great personal training. Now with their new expanded facilities, there's room for all your fitness needs. But what I love most are the classes. Elite offers a wide range of spin, Pilates, strong, boxing, total body fitness classes, and more, and their instructors are great. For the first time in my life, I'm regularly going to fitness classes several times a week. I'm having fun, I'm in better shape than ever, and when I take a class in the morning, I have a sense of added well-being that lasts throughout the day. Hey, maybe I'll see you there. Join now or find out more at elitefitnessws.com. That's elitefitnessws.com. Calling all campers. And Mom and Dad, that's you too. This is Betsy encouraging you to enjoy the time of your family's life at Take Wise Family Camp in Branson, Missouri this summer. Choose your 6 days of solid Christian teaching and fun activities for the whole family in a beautiful Hawaii-like resort environment. My kids and I love it, so we're headed back this summer. Check out KQY Family Camp, part of the Kanaka family of Christian sports camps, by going to my website, betsysblog.com. KQY, a family vacation with eternal significance.
If you own your own business and want to let people know about it, then advertise it on this show. It Takes a Parent reaches thousands of moms and dads all over the Chicagoland area. Nationally syndicated columnist, author, and radio show host, Betsy Hart, can tell everyone about your product or business on her show. Let Betsy's advertising team of experts come out to meet you for a free consultation. Introductory rates available for a limited time. Call 847-472-8942. 847-472-8942. That's 847-472-8942.
Hello, I'm Dr. Bill Winston. Start your weekday mornings off right. Listen to the Believer's Walk of Faith Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. here on AM 1160 WYLL.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. This is Betsy Hart, and I'm looking at a Chicago Sun-Times piece this week which says, I want you to get married. $5 million campaign, the feds tell benefits of getting hitched. Peter Picard of True, a Chicago youth research firm, helped to shape the campaign, did a lot of the research to find out what young people are thinking about getting married. Peter, welcome to It Takes a Parent.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're here. I would actually argue that it takes two parents, although sometimes it takes two parents and a small army to raise a family, but I digress. Okay, so I want you to get married, $5 million campaign. I would do it for less than that. I'm just saying, you know, you wouldn't have to pay me the whole $5 million. I would personally do it for less.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, we'll talk. So here's the piece by Sharon Jason this week. Marriage has turned into quite a quandary for many young adults, she writes. Should they or shouldn't they? Can they escape divorce? Will moving in together forestall a breakup? The average age of first marriage, and I've talked about this actually late last fall when these numbers came out, Peter. The average age of first marriage is 26 for women, 28 for men, which is the highest it's ever been, it's the latest it's ever been. A growing percentage of Americans are not marrying at all. Federal statistics report 7.1 marriages per 1,000 people in 2008, down from 10 per 1,000 in 1986. Okay, that is a big drop. So faced with such numbers, the federal government is funding a national media campaign to say, hey, go get married. Is that what you're doing?
Not exactly.
Okay.
You know, I argue a little bit with that headline, and I think if you read Sharon's article, there's more to it than that. It's we're not really trying to tell people how to live their lives. That is to say, we're not saying you should go get married.
Okay, I enjoy telling people how to live their lives. So you don't have to. Apologies necessary on this show.
I know. But what we're trying to do is really trying to open a dialogue on this with young people, with young adults. And the work we did was among people 18 to 30, because as you pointed out, this is the age group that typically gets into marriage for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and they are we have noticed that they are in fact delaying marriage longer than generations in the past, and there's a number of reasons for that. Some good reasons. I mean, there are single lifestyles now are there is no stigma attached to them. There are more options outside of marriage, and so people are, you know, pursuing their careers and so forth and forestalling marriage. But we also know, and our research confirms that, most young people, in fact, 82% of them, not only expect to be married, but expect to be married for life. So there's a kind of conflict that exists with them about when they should do it, how they should do it, and when they do, you know, how to make it work. And,
yeah.
You know, as we talk about amongst ourselves here, there's all kinds of training to get in the world, from getting your driver's license to learning how to do PowerPoint, and yet there's very little training or advice available for people on how to make relationships work and marriages work, and that's what this program is about.
Okay, now I would actually, I would say that the delayed marriage ages are not a good thing. I think there kind of should be a stigma. I think women are out there making, and I've said this on the air before. You know, I think women are far too sexually available, so men don't have to get married. There's no stigma. You know, men can be 35-year-old adolescents and never married and never going to get married and sleeping around. And it used to be, if that was the case, people looked at the 35-year-old guy who was still single and said, oh, he's not a grown-up. Nobody does that anymore. I don't think that's healthy. But, you know, whatever, you and I might disagree on that.
You know what? I'm actually reporting the perceptions of young people.
Okay.
They think that there's viable options.
But at the same time,
while the yearning for commitment and connection exists powerfully among this group,
mm-hmm.
surprisingly even among this group, so.
Okay, and you and I would agree, and the data does show, and we talked a little bit about this before the show, that marriage in and of itself is a health-granting institution, if you will. You tend to live longer, be healthier, be happier. It stabilizes communities. There's just so many benefits to it. And there's many books written about it. My favorite is The Case for Marriage, which just talks about why marriage in and of itself as an institution is a good thing. And so I think, you know, we would at least agree on that whatever age you get to for it. So then you guys decided, okay, what? Why aren't people getting married? Or what are their perceptions about it? What are we going to do about this as we promote this campaign? Tell me what was the genesis of thinking. We got to get out there and find out what's going on with young people when it comes to marriage.
Yeah, well, all the research that you, the things you just quoted, all the research would support what you say about the benefits of marriage. And then obviously those benefits apply to the broader family, to children in particular. So there's a lot of good health benefits that come from marriage. And what we wanted to do is again because we felt like there was a strong yearning for this kind of connection, and yet young people, some were having some trouble, making the commitment, and then once they get into relationships, keeping those relationships healthy themselves.
And why were they having trouble making the commitment? Are we going to get into that?
Well, they're having the trouble making the commitment because what we found is there's kind of a fear of failure. People are aware of the statistics, how many relationships, how many marriages fail, and for that reason, waiting to find, exactly the right situation and the right person, it comes into play because people want to make sure that they don't make a mistake. So, there's 80% of the people expect to be married for life, and 75% of the young people that we talked to told us that they would rather stay single than marry the wrong person.
Mm.
You can see the conflict that's there.
Yeah.
I want to do this, and yet I fear failure. So, part of this, what this campaign is trying to do is offer some help. I mean, there's some people who really want to, again, be married, be in healthy relationships, and we think, and we know that there's science to support this, that there are ways to make relationships work better.
Okay, well, let's first, I want to get into some of the statistics, and I touched on these at the top of the show, but walk through them with me, will you, as far as what you found, which was, if I'm not mistaken, as you talked about, people really do want to get married, but walk me through then some of these different percentages, which were outlined in the Sun-Times piece, because that was really interesting. Like the, I think it was 14% expressed strong sense.
Well, the study was large, and so there's lots of statistics. But in the Sun-Times, they reported, what we did is we uncovered different mindsets, if you will, within the young adult group. And so, for example, one of the mindsets is a group we call the I don'ts. It's 14% of all young adults sort of fall within this group, and those people really were pessimistic. Of all the groups we talked to, the most pessimistic about marriage.
And was that mostly men, mostly women, evenly split?
No, it's a mixed group of both men and women. They saw marriage as an unnecessary risk. When we looked very hard at them and looked at their backgrounds, very often they had come from situations, family situations, in which there had been, a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole idea about fear of failure was sort of magnified for them. But they really, were concerned about making mistakes, marrying the wrong person.
And okay, so, see, I dated one of those guys.
Pardon me?
I dated one of them.
I think I talked to him.
Yeah, you probably did. No, he's older than 30. I have to say that. However, I know him. I know that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay. All right.
We found different segments within this group. It's not the young people, no surprise, don't all think the same about this. From that extreme, we had another group called True Believers, and that's about 20% of young people who actually do believe and don't require that marriage is the centerpiece of life and actively pursue it. So we have sort of two extremes and then different groups, between those two extremes.
Okay, and that was the ones who said, they aren't ready, but they eventually plan to wed. And
yes, we had a whole group called, we're calling the Not Yet Set, and that does tend to be young guys. And, and they, while thinking about that they might want to get married someday, just don't feel like they have, that they're, not only are they not ready yet, but they're not prepared, that they don't think that they can handle, they're not prepared to have a successful relationship, and they worry about that.
Okay. Plus, women are sleeping with them, so they don't need to get married. But that's, it's a separate issue. Okay. So we've got those folks. So the not yets tend to be men. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Then what is the 23% who have a practical view of marital unions? What does that mean? How is that different than the wannabe marrieds?
Yeah, we call those groups the realists, and they're very careful about getting married. So they're not pessimistic like the I don'ts. They're optimistic about what marriage might provide, but they're very careful. And they weigh the pros and cons. They look for, some of them look for the sort of financial benefits, or they're looking for the rational benefits of marriage as much as sort of the emotional payoff.
Okay.
And they once they get married, they tend to stay in relationships.
Okay.
The realists do, but they're just, they go slower.
Okay. And what
true believers would be.
What are the 19% who are enmeshed in the magic of love? So what are we doing with them?
Yeah, the romantic group. And
are they getting married, not getting married? What's their story?
They really value marriage, but they think about it as they're waiting for a Prince Charming. They're looking for their soulmate. This group tends to be a little
women.
Female.
Yep.
And they tend to, and the issue with this group is that they do romanticize marriage. And so if there's an issue, if they do get married and there's an issue in the marriage, then it must be that you're not my soulmate.
Okay.
So it's very easy to move from that mindset to this can't be right if we're having issues.
Yeah, yeah. And to those gals, I say the fantasy of Prince Charming is, in fact, a fantasy. You marry a real guy just like he marries a real gal, and you make it work. But that's another whole show. Okay, so you had all these folks, and now you're kind of figuring out how to reach them and then how to go with, okay,
yeah,
so now what works?
What we wanted to do is really, again, as I said earlier, we wanted to open a dialogue. To open a dialogue with people, you need to understand where they're coming from. So that's why we looked to see if we could find different sort of mindsets or groups within young adults, and we have.
Okay,
now,
you know what?
Peter, hold on.
We're going to come back right after the break,
sure.
And we're going to find out what to do with all this information and how to help folks jump over the broom, so to speak. Friends, you're listening to It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. This is Betsy Hart saying, do not go away. Come right back after the break with more on Getting Hitched and Why.
Don't know when your favorite program is on? Check out the program guide for Chicago's Christian Talk at WYLL.com. That's WYLL.com.
Do you know that a huge percentage of illnesses are because of stress? I believe it. Look, I used to think a massage was a rare luxury to be enjoyed only on a vacation or for a special occasion, but no more. Not since I've been going to Massage Envy in Western Springs. Now, massage is an affordable, regular part of my wellness program. Massage Envy of Western Springs will show you how consistent massage can lower blood pressure and stress, improve your circulation, and make you feel oh so good. And in these tough times, you need something to affordably feel good about. Massage Envy is open late, so you can go after the kids are in bed, or you can walk in anytime. Your first massage is only $49, and a membership at one Massage Envy is good at them all. My Massage Envy in Western Springs is a little oasis for me. And for this single mom of four, it's not a luxury, it's a necessity. Call 708-784-ENVY. That's 708-784-ENVY to book your first massage. Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all-natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois, each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's cookies continue to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. The Chicago Tribune selected Matt's cookies as the first place winner in a blind taste test of commercially baked chocolate chip cookies. They said Matt's cookies had lots of real chocolate and a soft texture that some equated with being most like homemade. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf in just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the homemade-style store-bought cookies, now available in chocolate chip pecan, peanut butter with chocolate chips, cranberry walnut, and fig bars. Wow, Matt's Cookies. Get some today.
Chuck Swindoll gives you Insight for Living weekdays at noon here on AM 1160 WYLL.
Do you want to grow deeper in your faith? Do you have questions you have had difficulty asking? Do you want to get your answers anonymously? Tune in Monday through Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. to Ask the Pastor with Gregory Dickow. Countless people have been satisfied with the biblical answers, and many pastors and those looking for spiritual growth have learned from these questions and answers. Monday through Friday from 5 to 6 p.m., you will be encouraged, uplifted, and strengthened in your faith.
That's right here on AM 1160.
Calling all campers, and Mom and Dad, that's you too. This is Betsy encouraging you to enjoy the time of your family's life at Cape Wise Family Camp in Branson, Missouri this summer. Choose your 6 days of solid Christian teaching and fun activities for the whole family in a beautiful Hawaii-like resort environment. My kids and I love it, so we're headed back this summer. Check out Cape Wise Family Camp, part of the Kanaka family of Christian sports camps, by going to my website, betsysblog.com. Cape Wise, a family vacation with eternal significance.
AM 1160.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart, AM 1160 WYLL, with Peter Picard of True, a Chicago youth research firm. That would be a lot of fun to work at a youth research firm. You get to just do all, like, styles and clothes and products and just everything going on?
We do all of those things, and then some of these more meaty issues like the ones we're talking
about.
Yeah,
all right, well, that is fun. But, yeah, there are not a whole lot more meaty issues, if that's the right way to say it,
right,
than the whole issue of getting hitched, how young people view it. And it really has an incredible impact for our culture, for our communities, for families, for kids. And I guess that's why the feds are jumping into it. Although, boy, when you compare this to what's going on in the stimulus package, $5 million, that's a chump change. I mean, couldn't you get like $5 billion for this? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Did you not get into the stimulus package in time?
Well, this was before this.
I know.
But, of course, and it's not very much money. Mm-hmm. And we now the National Healthy Marriage Resource Center, who sponsor all this, now it's their job to communicate to the young people, the groups that we just talked about, and encourage them to come to a website that they have developed. And the website is called twoofus.org.
Oh, okay.
And it's up now, and it's a terrific site. It provides tips, tools, facts, and so forth for all phases of relationships, from dating to marriage and even into parenting, to help people have more successful relationships and marriages. And it's a place where there really is a healthy exchange of information, that is, people can communicate with one another. Communicate with one another, and also get tips from experts in different fields. So there's information on there, and scientifically backed information about how to make relationships work better. So it's a site that we hope everyone will come to, and the focus of the campaign again is to get people to come to the site and participate in the dialogue on the site.
Twoofus.org. So this is sort of like a national. It's like a health initiative, like a public health initiative. So, you know, and I like this initiative. So if the feds are going to spend money, I'd rather they spend it here than on, you know, some research on the fruit fly. So what have you uncovered as far as helping people? You know, this huge fear in this group is fear of failure. They've seen marriages fail. They don't want to get married. Like you were saying, a lot of them would rather just stay single their whole lives and fail. You know, other people are more, hey, you just got to live today, jump in, make it happen, what have you. But what do you tell these people? How do you encourage them? What's some of the answers that you've uncovered that's helpful to this group?
Yeah, well, what is the people's, I mean, it's a different answer for, depending on what the different mindsets, of course. The I don'ts, we're trying to, and twoofus.org can help them do this, trying to get over their that fear of commitment, the fear of making failure. We're trying to encourage them and find ways to make them feel better about their own skills in establishing trust in relationships.
Okay.
The not yet set, that whole group, that young male group, I needs information also about relationships and about preparing for the future, so that they're ready to take the step when they feel, you know, sort of whatever, financially ready, because those are some of the things that are holding them back.
Okay.
Right now, they also don't feel emotionally ready. So another group where we're trying to give them information and encouragement, and also, you know, the kind of skill training they need to feel comfortable as they build relationships and then move toward marriage.
Okay, so now why is it that these young people need all this, the skill sets and the websites and so on, and our parents and grandparents didn't, and the divorce rates were much lower? Like, what's going on with that?
Yeah, I'm not sure about our grandparents, to be honest, but we do know that people struggle with these issues in relationships, and now there has been quite a bit of work over the past few years on what makes relationships work, and there are some, you know, simple methods that help people to to have better relationships, to stay together longer, and to sort of have healthier lives. And we think, you know, this information should be communicated to people. They should take advantage of it, and it will, in fact, we do believe it will have some real impact on the lives of young people.
You know, one of the things, I had a marriage therapist on a couple weeks ago. We did a two-part show on how difficult the teen years can be on their parents' marriage. And one of the things that he talked about, and he's seen a lot of marriages break up as a result of the difficult teen years, and then afterwards you would think that that's when people are saying, oh, the kids are all gone, this is a great time in marriage, and in fact, a lot of times that's when marriages break up, is just the simple things like learning to do something together or doing something together that you enjoy. And in fact, research shows over and over again, the couples who actually have fun together doing an activity, dancing, bowling, whatever it is they like doing together, are actually, if they have common interests, more likely to stay together than people who are, quote unquote, madly passionately in love but don't share common interests. I think that's sort of interesting.
Yeah, we did find even in this research exactly that the grand gestures, while, you know, sometimes they're sort of fun to talk about, it's the little things, the day-to-day things that seem to make people happy and seem to hold people together.
Yeah, I like the grand gestures and the little things, so I'm sort of a give it to me all girl. But I do think, though, that one of the things that people don't get, and I was married for 17 years, it was not my idea to get divorced, you know, my listeners know that, is that marriage is about real life. And I think sometimes we've built up this expectation, and I hear it from women in particular, oh, I'm looking for my soulmate. And instead of sort of looking at the person you're with as a realistic fellow or woman and realizing they have faults and shortcomings and sin and loving them anyway and giving that person the freedom to fail, as I put it, in a committed relationship, we tend to have these incredibly inflated expectations today that our grandparents didn't have. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times it's that sets us up for failure and saying, oh, this person didn't meet my needs. They're done. I'm going to go find somebody who does. I think that's sort of a tragedy instead of saying the institution itself has value, even if I'm not happy in the moment, and I'll very likely be happy a few moments from now, and that's okay.
Yeah, I think that everything we heard in talking to young people would support exactly what you said. There's obviously the media puts a lot of pressure on it, mm-hmm. on marriage, but the one movie after another, like creating sort of unrealistic expectations
right.
of who your partner should be and what a successful marriage is. And so people do end up building those romantic notions that are not founded on, mm-hmm. you know, on realistic expectations.
Yeah, I mean, if you saw the movie Titanic, I hated the movie Titanic, and I hated it because I hated the love scene, the love story in it, and I didn't want my daughters to see this nonsense that she falls in love with this guy, Leonardo DiCaprio, after 24 hours, and he's just the love of her life, and she's never going to be fulfilled again, and he was poor, and she was rich, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I was ready to see the guy drown. I just couldn't stand it. And I just thought, you know, if the boat had docked in New York Harbor, and they'd had to live a real life where, guess what, he was going to forget her birthday, and she wasn't going to have the Monets hanging on the wall because she was going to give them up to go off with this guy. If they'd had to live a real life, it would have looked a lot different than that manic 24 hours. The manic 24 hours is really fun. I mean, that's awesome to be in that. But there's a real life component, too, to marriage that I just think young people are not seeing, and we're not encouraging them to see it because we've created these false expectations. So no wonder they have a fear of failure. Who can live up to that?
No, absolutely. And we think, again, the romantic group, we need to pop their bubble a little bit. We don't want to diminish their enthusiasm for marriage because mm-hmm. they are enthusiastic about it. That group is enthusiastic, and that's that's wonderful. It's a wonderful sort of sense of energy around it. But it's just to bring some realism to it so that they, again, so that when they find somebody that they're interested in, the relationship can thrive and not fall apart at the first sign of any kind of realistic barrier or difficulty.
Yeah, and I think that's a great message to get out. So what's next then for what you're doing? What's the next step?
Well, we have just, you know, we've just launched a campaign, and it's beginning now, it'd be online and other places, to invite people to twoofus.org. And we're hoping a lot of the power of this initiative will take place on that website. We're really hoping to build a real sort of following, a real sense of engagement among young people on the site so that people with different sort of mindsets, so someone with a more realistic mindset can have an open dialogue with someone who's more romantic and, mm-hmm. and can really exchange ideas about how to make relationships more successful, in addition to getting some of the tips and expert advice, you know, from some of our marriage panelists and experts.
Great.
Who are on the site.
All right, twoofus.org. All right, maybe that should be a matchmaking site. I don't know. No. All right, Peter Picard of True here in Chicago. Thanks so much for joining us on It Takes a Parent today. This was awesome. Good luck in your work and encouraging marriage.
Thank you.
Awesome,
very much.
Awesome goal and a good place for our focus to be. Friends, thanks so much for tuning in to It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart from all of us at the show saying, hey, it was great having you with us today. Have a terrific week. We'll talk to you again a week from today. Bye-bye.
Answers to the questions you've been afraid to ask.
Ask the Pastor with Pastor Gregory Dickow.
Weekday evenings from 5 to 6 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
Do you ever look in the mirror and think you need a lift? That maybe while you work hard to exercise and be in shape, to eat well, to look good for your age, to be healthy, your face isn't reflecting how you feel inside? Acclaimed facial cosmetic surgeon Dr. Wafi Khanna and the folks at Skinsational Med Spa in Hinsdale can help. Today there are so many wonderful enhancements available to you with little or no downtime and no surgery. And they can help you to look good on the outside like you feel on the inside, vibrant, healthy, younger. Dr. Khanna is a leader in treatments like Restylane to fill deeper facial lines, Botox to soften them, and the amazing skin tightener Accent. What's really incredible, just a little bit of investment on the outside can help you to better reflect your inner beauty. Now, I'm not going to give away any of my own secrets. I'm just going to tell you that I love the folks at Skinsational Med Spa. Call them now at 630-887-8180. That's 630-887-8180, or visit HannahMD.com. Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all-natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois, each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's cookies continue to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. The Chicago Tribune selected Matt's cookies as the first place winner in a blind taste test of commercially baked chocolate chip cookies. They said Matt's cookies had lots of real chocolate and a soft texture that some equated with being most like homemade. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf and just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the homemade-style store-bought cookies, now available in chocolate chip pecan, peanut butter with chocolate chips, cranberry walnut, and fig bars. Wow, Matt's Cookies. Get some today.
What do you get when people bring their groups together? Healthier, drug-free communities, especially for kids. So if you're involved with a group, contact your community coalition at helpyourcommunity.org or 877-KIDS-313. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.